Been preaching through the book of James now for quite some time. Last Sunday night we had Brother Seth Stewart with us, so we did not deal with James, but we're there tonight. I trust the Lord will help us. You pray for us as we try to share the Word of God. In the book of James, chapter number 4, we take up our reading. Let's read verse 6. But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be afflicted and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. One more time, would you join with me for prayer? Father, I'm grateful again for this day. I'm so grateful for the opportunity to serve you. It's such a joy to be saved and know that we're on our way to heaven tonight. And it's such a joy to know that if we'll only look to you during our times of trial and temptation, that you will give us more grace. We are so grateful for the wonderful grace of God. For by grace we are saved, and by grace we live. I thank you for the grace of God that worketh in our hearts and in our lives. Now help me tonight. May I be able to think clearly and speak clearly. May I say nothing that needs to be left off. And may I be able to say everything that I need to say tonight. And I'll be grateful for it, for I pray in Jesus' name, amen and amen. We are exhorted in this portion of the Word of God to humble ourselves before the Lord. We are told that God resisteth the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. I understand, and you understand from studying the wonderful Word of God, that pride is Satan's great sin. God wants us to be humble. Satan wants us to be proud. One of the things that the serpent confronted Eve with in that temptation in that garden was, God knows when you eat of that forbidden fruit that you will become as gods. And I think in essence what he was saying, that you'll be like God. And that's a proud declaration, that's a proud desire to be as God. You see, pride is definitely of Satan. I don't know if you've ever noticed it or not, I believe God calls preachers, and I believe God calls preachers sometimes at a young age. Recently, just a few weeks ago, we had a youth meeting, special services for 3 nights. We had 4 young preachers that preached in that meeting. And my, we had, I guess, one of the best meetings that we've ever had at Emory Heights. Some of the best preaching fellowship, just a great meeting, was it not? And it was young preachers that did the preaching, and I'm grateful for that. So I'd not say that preaching, God don't call young preachers. But I do notice, as Paul gives the qualifications of leaders and pastors in the Word of God, he said when it come to that office of a bishop, he said he's not to be a novice, lest being lifted up in pride, he falls into the temptation or the snare of the devil. I thought, and I hope I don't sound wrong as I say this today. I know there's larger churches in Rowan County, and we sure do not criticize them. And we sure do not knock them. In fact, there's, I guess, suppose there are several independent Baptist churches that are larger in number than what we are. But I noticed on our board we had 168 today, and I don't know who's counting, but I'm glad you've done a good job. Brother Stubbs used to say, when you're counting your church people, if they're pregnant, you count them as two, and if you have any expectation or triplets, you count them three. Amen. And a lot of people says numbers don't mean anything, but I want to tell you they do mean something. That's a soul, another soul. If we'd had 170, that's two more souls that's going to be somewhere in eternity. And so numbers do mean something. But what brought me on to saying what I'm saying, I'm grateful for that. And in reality, when I was a 20-year-old pastor, I probably could not have handled that, for my head would have swelled up. But I realized through the years of pastoring that it's not me, that it's God. It's not what I'm doing, but it's what God's doing. And so, you know, even just with young preachers, young leaders, young converts, there's that possibility of becoming proud and getting to the place where God cannot use you. And in reality, there's a possibility of you and I as senior people coming to the place of so much pride that God cannot use us. But I would want to stay humble before the Lord and walk close to the Lord and allow God to continue to bless our life. So pride is a matter that we certainly do not want to allow to get into our minds, into our heart. You see, it's just a serious matter. You see, God desires and wants us to depend upon the grace of God for our service and our sales and what we try to accomplish. But you know what Satan does? He wants us to depend upon our sales and get in this selfish mode and this matter of promoting self. I believe what I'm about to state is certainly a truthful statement. Satan is the author of all do-it-yourself enterprises when it comes to the realm of the spiritual. When I think about this, and I've pastored now for a few years, you learn a few things as you go along. I've not arrived, still got a lot to learn, but I have come to the conclusion that really it's not celebrities that we really need in church. We just need some folk that'll be real servants in the work of God. Not celebrities so much, but servants is really what we need. When I think about what we do, I am grateful for our musician. Far as I'm concerned, they do an excellent job. Far as I'm concerned, the singing tonight was excellent. I like those old hymns. They speak to my heart. I like the stringed instrument. That's been my joy throughout the days of my life. Before I got saved, I loved the banjo, the guitar. Never learned how to play them, but I do enjoy that stringed music. And all of that has its place. And I think tonight it's so good. But as singers and as servants, you see, singing is about worship and praise in song. It's not to magnify us. It's not that someone says, "My, I didn't know you could sing like that." It's not for folk to magnify you and I for what we do, but we are to magnify our wonderful Lord. That's what our singing is all about. I prayed this morning before I preached, and I want it to be my prayer every time anymore that I preach. I do not, God help me, not to draw attention to myself, but may I draw attention. I want you to see the Lord. I want you to know what the Bible says. I want God, through His Word, to speak to your heart. So preaching, as preachers know, oh, it's not to draw attention to ourselves or to magnify ourselves. but it's to magnify the Savior, and it's to challenge folk to follow our wonderful Lord Jesus. I wrote this down, and I mean every word of what I'm about to say. Oh, friend, with our stinking attitudes that we have, and with the failures that we make every day, how in the world can we stand and ever feel like ourselves to be something really great? Oh, friend, my pastor that married me and my wife many years ago, he was just a simple country preacher. But I tell you, there's one thing that he said that's always been in my mind through the years. He said, if you ever get to feeling pretty good about yourself, and if pride ever begins to enter into your heart and mind, he says, what you need to do is just go out and get you a handful of dirt and run it through your fingers and just really see what you're made out of. I remember years ago, preachers would preach, and they'd talk about when a body had died, and should they melt that body down and bring it down to the chemicals that was left in it and the elements that was left. There, it was only a few cents back in those days. Well, I ought to tell you tonight, it still wouldn't be worth $1,000. Probably wouldn't be worth $100. I'm sure. If it would, there'd be more of them saved and used for some reason. I'm just telling you, friend, when we die, they just need to get us off the scene just about as quick as they possibly can. And in all of our failures and all of our mistakes and all of our sorry attitudes, my, who am I? I cry out with David, what is man that God would even be mindful of man? Oh, as the old preacher used to say, just dust worm. Oh, but aren't you so glad that God had mercy and God had grace and God saved us by that wonderful grace? Oh, are we anything? No, no, no. All we are is to be accredited to the wonderful, magnificent grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. So as we look at this book of James, and as we study especially these verses that we've dealt with tonight, it is a fact, there's no doubt. I know it by experience. The Word of God declares it. We have to deal with our flesh. We have to deal with the world. And we have to deal with the devil as we try to live this Christian life here upon this sinful world. But I've been preaching the last service or the last Sunday night or so that I preached. I started here in James 4. Of course, I've done dealt with three chapters, but the major thought of this chapter is in the first verse. It's talking about the wars and the fightings. And you know, it also talks about peace and how we can have peace. As I pointed out, isn't it amazing? James 3:18 talks about peace. James 4:1 talks about wars and fighting. My, it can happen that quickly, really. In lives, in churches, in homes, it can happen that quickly. One verse, there's peace. And the next verse, there's fightings and wars. May I give you something tonight from this wonderful passage of the Word of God. There's three simple rules to follow if we're going to be enjoy peace instead of having war in our life. Oh, friend, I tell you, we must do these things if we are to have peace. First of all, they're right here. Nothing hard to find. Nothing hard to find. Don't have to make up anything for an alliteration. They're all right here. Praise God. The first thing we must do, if we're going to have peace in our hearts and peace in our lives, we're going to have to submit to God. You'll just have to say, yes, Lord. Whatever you want for my life, whatever you intend to do in my life, whatever providential things that are to come my way in my life to make me and mold me, for you to have peace, we are going to have to submit to those matters. I tell you, I don't like trouble. I don't try to just deliberately provoke people. But I'm here to tell you tonight, in this world, we're going to have some afflictions. There's going to be things that will come our way. And we must bear those afflictions and oppositions patiently. And I have a real problem with doing with that. I read something today. I think it's true. You see, friend, you and I are not to just submit ourselves to this matter of what God wants to do in our life. And, you know, it's useless to murmur. I mean, it don't accomplish anything. It just gets you in a worse mood than what you was to start with. It really does. But the real reason for not to murmur is not because it don't do any good, but the real reason not to murmur about what comes in our life is because it's a sin. It really is a sin to murmur against the providence of God in our life. You say, preacher, have you ever done it? Well, sure I have. You have too. But that don't change qualification. What I do, don't change the Bible. And it don't change classification of matter. You got me? So may the Lord help us to understand those oppositions, those hard times, those afflictions, those difficult times. We must submit to God in those if we're going to have peace instead of war. In fact, I understand, and I study words a little bit, but I understand that this word submit yourselves therefore to God. This word submit is a military term, and it means to get into your proper rank. Get where you belong. Get in your place. And you know, that's really a lot of problems in homes. A lot of people don't like to hear about that, but it really is. And I ain't got time to straighten you home out tonight. I've got other things to deal with. But usually that's the problem in the home, is somebody don't get in their proper place. Either the husband don't take the leadership, or the wife took it before he ever got a hold of it. Right? Amen. You might as well shake your head that way. But that's the real problem, that there's not peace in the home. Most of the time, somebody's not in their place. Doing good, ain't we? And when it comes to church, most time in church problems, I didn't know I was going to say this, but it's because somebody is not in their place. Now, I realize that I'm responsible for leadership. I tell you, that'll make you pray. That'll make you think things over. I'm aware of that tonight. I'm responsible. I didn't mean to say this, but here we go. Sometimes people think that I ought to do things that I don't do. There's times that I may do things that people say that that I ought to be. I've got tangled in my language, but here's what I'm trying to say. Sometimes you think I ought to do things I don't do, and I ought not do things that I do. I promise you, I do know that I'm aware that I'll give an account for what I do. Leadership. The reason, I've said this more than once, but the reason that we're where we are today at Emory Heights is because that we've had good leadership. I'm not talking about the preacher. I'm talking about our deacon. You know, I'm chasing rabbits, but I'm sorry. I usually don't do this so much. But here we are tonight. We'll get done when we can. But years ago especially, the deacon thought his job was to hire and fire the pastor. And if they didn't go their way, that's what they would undertake to do. But I've never had a deacon in this church to confront me that my time was up or I wasn't doing things in the right way. Now, there have been some situations that I've had to deal with that really I didn't want to deal with.
But it come to a time that I had to deal with it. What I'm saying tonight, friend, is there is a place for everybody. And it is an honor when God puts you in a position of leadership. Don't take it lightly. But that's what we have. Submit yourselves unto God. Whatever His place is that He has placed you, you are to fill that place properly, faithfully, unto the end. I was thinking today, this is just passing, I'll move on. A lot of people don't understand, and I'm not a scholar, I'm not a genius, but a lot of people don't understand. Do you know tonight that my position is a God called, sent, placed position? Now, I believe in church accountability. I believe in church authority. And I'm glad it's that way. I'm glad that if you was to catch me drunk on Saturday night and feel like the very thing that you need to do is vote me out, I'm glad that you can call a meeting. Praise God, you can run my sorry hide off. I'm glad it's that way. Amen. Pastors, preachers, that's a call. Deacons is a church appointed position. It's not really a God called position. They said, look us out, 7 men. Full of faith and the Holy Ghost, and we'll appoint them over this business of taking care of these neglected widows during the day of ministration. Well, I'm not hashing things out. I'm just preaching about it. It is. But it's a matter of finding your place, staying in your place, doing what God has told you to do, and we're to submit unto God. I'll do what you tell me to do. I will follow you. I'll serve you in the capacity that you've given me to serve in. This not going nothing like I thought it would, but here we are anyway. It's true. You see, it's been said that the captain of our salvation, we're to follow him as a good soldier follows the commander. We're to follow the Lord. Let me look at something tonight in these verses. Verses 7 through verses 10. Submit yourself. I didn't count them all. I did look at them. I did sort of scan, and I think there's 10 verbs there. In these 4 verses, verses 7 through 10, there are 10 different verbs that are in the imperative mood. And you look at them. Submit, resist, draw nigh, cleanse, purify, be afflicted, mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning. Your joy to heaviness. Humble yourself. 10 imperative verbs given this portion of the Word of God. And all of these hinge around that very thought of submitting ourselves. The thrust of this whole passage is submission to the will of God. Tell you something. Submission is an act of the will. It's not my will, but thine be done. It's an act of the will. Now, let's look at something else. Not only are we to submit, but we're to resist the devil, of course, and we're to draw nigh to God. I thought about this matter of resisting the devil. I've heard this said, I believe it's truth, that we're in no condition to resist the devil until we have first submitted ourselves
unto the Lord. I don't think in reality that it is wise to argue with the devil. The Bible said in the book of Jude that Michael, when contending with the devil over the body or concerning the body of Moses, he brought not railing accusation against him, but he simply said, "The Lord rebuke thee, Satan." And I'm going to tell you, in this resisting the devil, don't argue with him, don't reason with him, because he's going to lie to you, and if you're not careful, he'll have you convinced that what he's telling you is the truth. Get your Bible. Study your Bible. Do like Jesus did when resisting Satan. He would always come back with a good passage that related to the subject from the Word of God. The devil is real. He's not bound in hell. He's loose on planet Earth. And he's real. He's active. And I think he's very active. So we're to resist him, and then we're to draw nigh to the Lord. This is simple, very elementary, but this is the truth, and it's what we need. How do we draw nigh to God? We do that by confessing our sins and asking for his cleansing. You see, the Bible said here that we're to purify our hearts. We're to cleanse our hands. You see, the heart's the real problem, but the hands get involved. I think about all the sin and wrong that can literally be done with the hands. I think today about email and Facebook and all of these things. No doubt they have been used and can be used of benefit and blessing. But on the other hand, it's just like a lot of other things. Those hands can be used in sending messages and doing things that are coming from a heart that's not pure. If you want peace in your life, you're going to have to purify your hands, you sinners, and cleanse our hearts. You and I that are double-minded, and that means that we are divided in our affections and pulled in two directions in our lives. There comes a time when we need to say, "Lord, whatever you want me to do, whatever it is I need to do to have peace, that's the very thing or things that I am willing to do." Oh, I understand the word purify here in its setting and in its true meaning. Of course, it means purify, and I understand that. But it means to make chaste. That it goes back to this ideal of this being friends of the world and committing a spiritual adultery. It has the ideal, you're to tell the world goodbye. You're to say no to the devil. You're to say no to your flesh. You're to say yes to God. And as a couple gets their differences ironed out and they get back together and bury the hatchet and move forward with their lives, that's what sinners are to do. Leave the world behind. Say no to your flesh. Say no to the devil. And say yes to the Lord that calls upon your heart and upon your life. Draw nigh to God. Very briefly, I read today in the book of Genesis. I'd really never noticed this. But in the book of Genesis 18, there were three men that came to Abraham's place in chapter 18. In chapter 19, there's two angels that come to the gate of Sodom. So in essence, when you make the connection, I'm pretty convinced that these three men in Genesis 18 are the Lord. You look at it, studied in setting, are the Lord and those other two angels that appear as men. But God reveals to Abraham what he's about to do. And he tells him what he's about to do. And it tells us in verse 22 of chapter 18 of Genesis, "And the men turned their faces from thence and went towards Sodom. But Abraham stood yet before the Lord." And in verse 23 said, "And Abraham drew near." I'm telling you, there's business to take through them. There's problems that we need to deal with. There are situations that God is fixing to take in his hand. And it involves my relatives. It involves my nephew. It involves my nephew's family. And instead of him throwing up his hands in despair, he stood before the Lord, and then he grew nigh or nearer unto the Lord. Do we not need to do that tonight? Now let me point out something else. I'm done. He said, "Let your laughter be turned to mourning. Humble yourself. After you draw nigh to God, you're to humble yourself." That's the third thing that we're to do to have peace. Now, somebody says, is it wrong to laugh? Proper timing. There are so many things that involve proper timing. The book of Ecclesiastes chapter 3 talks about the different times for different things. And he said there is a time to weep, and there is a time to laugh. But when we have got distant with the Lord, when our hands have become defiled, when our hearts have become cold and callous and full of sin, it's no time to be laughing about what, it's no time to laugh. That is the time to weep and mourn. And I remember being in a country church in a revival meeting years ago. And there was an old-fashioned preacher that was a spoke come to the Lord. And that old preacher said, "Weep your way back to God." Now, they spoke don't believe that anymore, but it's scriptural. God said, "Earth is my footstool, and heaven is my throne." But he said, "The one that I'm going to draw near to is that person that is of a humble and a contrite spirit." We've changed in these days. And I know a bucket of tears don't save anybody. And a bucket of tears won't make matters right. But I'll tell you what, wholehearted repentance and faith toward God will bring about a drastic change in my life and your life. May God help us tonight. I'm done. I hope you've got something from the Word of God. Humble yourselves. Do you remember the days when you were younger in the Lord? Do you remember when the preacher would preach and God speak to your hearts? You'd come to an altar and you'd pray. But oh no, we're too big for that now. Too old for that now. Too many miles behind us for that now. I'll take you to have peace in home. To have peace in your life. To have peace in church. Find a place and submit to God. Amen? That's right. Are you really willing to say, "I surrender"? Are you really willing to submit your life to the Lord? Are you willing to take those circumstances that are hurt? criticism. But sometimes we face that. And we've got to deal with that. And we've got to deal with it properly. If we grow, we have to. Let's come to the song. Let's stand at the feet. Real peace. Real peace. I read a story one time about two women that were sisters.